it is a blessing to be here. And I just want to say I was so blessed last night with the sharing, and it was real and challenging and encouraging, and just that Laura and Kristen were just yielded to the Lord, willing to put themselves out there to be stretched. And at the same time, I was encouraged because many of the scriptures that they shared were also scriptures the Lord put on my heart, and just that confirmation. And this morning, House Beautiful, a sweet devotion. And I just wanted to share that this was from a devotional book, and it's from Debbie Bryson. It is an excellent resource. Megan gave it to me for Christmas last year, and it's been a real blessing for me. So let me just open up with prayer. Thank you, Wanda. I was blessed. We can rejoice with those who rejoice, and it was a sweet testimony. Thank you. And thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for all of your goodness, your mercy, all of your provisions, Lord. Thank you for each lady that's here, Lord. Some had to count the cost more than others, Lord, with setbacks and things and circumstances. So thank you for each and every one of us. We thank you for this retreat center, Lord. We thank you for those that are serving us, Lord. And so as I share, Lord, I just pray that you would just be my strength and my strong tower, Lord. And we commit it all to you this day in Jesus' name. Amen. So I, too, just wanted to welcome you to the Solid Rock Women's Open House. And our retreat scripture, as a reminder, Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. Just like the devotion this morning, House Beautiful, it was a devotion with contrasts and comparisons. And that's our retreat scripture. Contrast, comparisons, and it brings us to the point of making a choice. So it's painting a picture, Proverbs 14:1, of two different kinds of women. The wise woman who chooses to build. And I believe that each one of us here today would desire to be that wise woman. Not the one who tears down, which means, to destroy or break down. And building is a process, step-by-step, decision-by-decision process. And our house, I'm sorry. The house is our lives, our families, our friends, but most importantly, our life in the Lord. When we choose to walk with the Lord, we build. And when we choose not to walk with the Lord, we destroy. These are the blueprints, our house plans for our house. And we chose them and we purchased them with great expectations. They were designed by an architect. They were viewed by our contractor. We paid all the fees and permits, and they were finally approved by the county, and we were ready. But before that actual building took place, we had to have the property prepared. It had to be plowed up and leveled, and then that first block was set. Then it was one upon another until we had that sure and solid foundation. And as Laura said last night, we need that in our spiritual houses. The Lord is the master builder. He is the creator God, our architect. He is the rock of our salvation, our foundation. He has great plans for each of us, his personal blueprints. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, designed and created, and we were bought and paid for by his own blood. And Laura shared this scripture, and I'm just going to read through it quickly, Matthew 7:24 through 25. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. Sorry. Who builds his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now everyone who hears these sayings of his, of mine, and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came up, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Again, contrast, comparisons, and choices. The wise builder versus the foolish builder. The wise woman versus the foolish woman. And again, we must have that same solid foundation spiritually. Just as our property had to be prepared, the Lord is faithful. He plows up our hearts. He gets us ready to hear that message before we accept him. And when we do, when we are born again, and when we trust him as Lord and Savior, then the building begins on that solid foundation of Christ. And 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So our blueprints contained everything we needed, everything the builder needed. But some of the things that were here, because these came from North Carolina, some of them didn't work out like they should. Some of them weren't according to Del Norte County building regulations. And then sometimes we just didn't like what we were seeing. And then sometimes it was like, well, wow, why don't we put a window here? And so there were changes made. And if you were to come to my house, look at the finished final house and compare them to our plans, you would be able to see the changes that were made. However, the foundation never changed. The foundation stayed the same through everything else. So I just want to welcome you to the bathroom. For me, it's a room of necessities, and it's a room of transformation. We all know that the bathroom is one of the most important rooms in our homes. At least for me, it is. When we walk into someone's bathroom, our own bathroom, what do we expect to see? A toilet, tub, shower, sink, mirror, some lights. But for me, it's the room of transformation. When I get up in the morning, it's the first room I go to, often with my eyes half open, stumbling in, especially when I was working, and I was up every morning at 5 a.m. But you know what? When I would start to brush my teeth or get in that hot shower, wash my hair, I was getting ready for the day. And in just 20 minutes, I feel like a new person. Transform from, oh my gosh, I pray that the alarm was wrong, or I know it's really Saturday, to, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And the Lord wants to do that for us spiritually. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Our sins are forgiven. They're removed. We are cleansed. He wants to prepare us for our day spiritually. He wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. And he wants to ready our hearts for whatever might come our way. He transforms us, just like the physical shower. Refreshed, renewed, awakened, transformed, prepared for our day. Romans 12, 1 through 2 says, "I beseech you, or I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The Phillips Bible paraphrases a scripture as, "Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold." Transform means to make a thorough or a dramatic change in the form, appearance, or character, as in a metamorphosis, describing a change from within. And that's what the Lord does. He changes us from within. To change in character or condition, to convert. That is what God wants to do in us. He wants to transform us. So again, contrast, comparisons, and choices. So conform or transform. Again, the world wants to control or transform or conform, and God wants to transform us. In other words, simply said, if the world controls your thinking, you are a conformer. If God controls your thinking, you are a transformer. The world here means our society or the system that man has built to make himself happy without God. The world is antagonistic towards God. So how do we avoid being conformed to the world, and how do we become transformed? We are to be those living sacrifices. The scripture says it is our reasonable service, meaning since Jesus, the Son of God, has died for me, the least that I can do for him is to live for him. But this transformation is ongoing. It's continual. It doesn't happen overnight. It's moving forward each day. And we need to choose to stay focused on Jesus, offering our lives to him daily. And he uses his word to make us spiritually minded. So we have to be in the word daily. We need to know his word. We need to meditate on his word. We need to memorize it and hide it in our heart. And it is so that we can become transformed. It's not just to gather information or know a lot of facts. It's not just to maybe inquire and find out, well, what does God think about this or what does God have to say about it? But to be in the Word with the desire and the purpose to be obedient and to put his Word into practice, to live it out. And not just to read it and check off daily devotions on our to-do list that, okay, I've done it. But D.L. Moody said, the scriptures were not given to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives, to be transformed. I don't know if anybody saw the Kelly File on September the 14th. It's a news program, and the segment was about Kim Davis, and she is from Moorhead, Kentucky, the clerk who went to jail because she refused to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. She was standing up for biblical principles, her personal convictions, and she stated, I don't want to cause a conflict. I don't want to be in the spotlight, and I certainly don't want to be a whipping post. I am no hero. I am just a person who has been transformed by the grace of God, who wants to work and be with my family. I just want to serve my neighbors without violating my conscience. Transformed by the grace of God, by the love of God, and it was powerful. She has a national platform for her beliefs and standing up for the Lord. She has been a Christian for 4 years. 4 years. And she took this stand. She is having her past, her poor choices, her bad decisions, her failures, her life before Christ, shouted from the mountaintops, on national TV, printed in newspapers, talked about, and accused of being a hypocrite. Because this is what you were, bringing all of this up. But she is, again, an example of being transformed by the renewing of her mind, not conforming. She is confident and she is boldly living out her convictions, trusting in the Lord. So, moving through our bathroom, we have the toilet. So, again, I just want to say that I am very thankful and I am very grateful for my bathroom. We are blessed. You know what? When I watch old Western movies, when they're traveling in covered wagons, and I think of how infrequently, especially the women, had to bathe, I am overwhelmed. Even more overwhelmed when I try to picture myself with all these group of ladies and we have circled up and we're going to go outside of camp and we're going to have circle bathroom time with our skirts out. Oh my gosh, even years ago, chamber pots, outhouses, even when it was cold and raining and snowing and dark. Oh my gosh, Lord, thank you. But today, you know what? Every bathroom has a toilet. Praise the Lord. They are necessities. And there are necessities in our spiritual lives also. God is faithful. We have his word, his blueprint for living a victorious life. Looking in Colossians chapter 3, I'm just going to summarize this a little bit. We see that in the first few verses, we are told how we should live in preparation for heaven. In the rest of the chapter, Paul tells us how we should live on earth. The world would have us live one way. The Lord would have us to live another. Again, contrast, comparisons, bringing us to choices. Verse 5 says, put to death get rid of, eliminate, flush out. The earthly, fleshly desires that want to control us, things that are sinful, unprofitable, unhealthy, uncomfortable, and maybe even painful. So the first part is earthly desires, sensual sins that bring death. Fornication, and that refers to sexual immorality in general. Uncleanness, which are lustful impurities, is connected to luxury and loose living. Passion, a state of mind that excites sexual impurity. Evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Always wanting more, more things or more pleasures, never satisfied with what we have, and usually envious of what others have. Then going to verse 8, it says also to put off these things, which are considered social sins. Anger, wrath, which is a sudden outburst of anger. Malice is an attitude of ill will toward a person, being sad when they are successful, or rejoicing when someone else is in trouble. Blasphemy, a contempt for God. Filthy language, and that includes foul speech, coarse humor, or obscene language. Lying, misrepresenting the truth, involving the intent to deceive for the purpose of personal gain. Now we go to verses 12 and 14, and here are the things we need to put on as a garment, make it a part of our life, because we are the elect of God, holy and beloved. Tender mercies, having a heart of compassion. Kindness speaks of the unselfish spirit of doing for others. Humility is an absence of pride. Meekness, and meekness is not weakness, but it's strength under control. Strength to deny oneself and to walk in grace towards all men. Long-suffering is patience under provocation, forbearance, bearing with one another, and forgiveness. But above all, we are to put on love. The other thing that we expect to see in our bathrooms is a mirror. All mirrors form images by reflection, and it gives a true representation, and they reveal. They show what another thing is like in a very clear and accurate way. So we all know the most famous mirror of all. Remember from Grimm's fairy tale that later became a famous movie? Not only did this mirror reveal and reflect the likeness of the person looking into it, it could also speak. And of course, it did not lie. So we have our mirror. So mirror, mirror on the wall. It was Snow White, yay. Her wicked stepmother, who would stare into her mirror, and she was always pleased and content with the answer that she would receive. The mirror would always answer her question by saying, "You, O queen, are the fairest one of all." But there came a time when gazing upon herself and waiting for an answer that she was jolted out of her pleasantness and her contentment, for the mirror spoke a different message. It said, "My queen, you are the fairest here, so true, but Snow White is 1,000 times more beautiful than you." This was not what she expected. She chose the path of wickedness and evil, envy and pride. So, when we are looking into our mirrors, what do we see? How does our own reflection affect us, and what is revealed? Obviously, our mirrors do not speak to us, as in the fairy tale. But what message do we take away after we look at ourselves in the mirror? Well, here, I'll look in my mirror. Oh, I am too fat. I'm too short. I wish I had straight hair. Curly hair would be much more flattering. My nose is too big. Blue eyes are so much more attractive. I am really looking old. If only, and then you can fill in the blank, if only. We can be influenced in our thinking of how we should look through TV and magazines, what we see online, what we hear by comparing ourselves with ourselves. What we see when we're hearing these messages is people that have been hired and have been professionally dressed up, made up, and touched up so that they appear to be perfect, beautiful, and glamorous, delivering a message to us. And that message is that that's how we should look. That's how we should have our hair. This is what we should be doing in order to be happy, content, and successful. The focus is all about outward appearance. But what does God say? The truth is in God's word. Psalms 139, "For you have formed my inward parts. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully woven together in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." He formed us. He created us. When we were smaller than a speck in our mother's womb, all the future characteristics of us were decided and made. The color of our skin, the color of our eyes, the color of our hair, the shape of our face, even God-given natural abilities. All that will be physically and mentally is contained in that fertilized egg. That is amazing. And that is our Creator God. In contrast and comparison again, 1 Samuel 16:7, "The Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, and God looks at our heart." And we are all tempted to make a judgment or form an opinion by first impressions, what we see, the way man sees. But more importantly, what does God see when he looks at our hearts? What is in our hearts? What about our attitudes? What about our thoughts? Those things that are on the inside, the things that can't be seen. To know, we must look into another mirror, and that is God's mirror, His Word. The book of James emphasizes practical Christian living, challenging and encouraging believers to put their faith into action. Written to us as a word of exhortation, bringing us comfort, and at the same time, challenge and rebuke. James is teaching about trials and temptations, where they come from and our responses to them, eliminating sin and truly receiving the word. James 1:22 through 24 said, "But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, he goes away, and then immediately forgets what kind of man he was." The challenge is to be a doer, not just a hearer. And James is comparing the word and not being obedient as looking in that mirror and forgetting what we look like. The test is to look into the word and spiritually see ourselves as we really are. What do we need to eliminate? What is hindering our spiritual growth? Those things that displease the Lord. And again, it is not enough just to read the word or even to agree with the word. We have to be willing to do what the word says. And just a note, you know what? We may not get it the first time, the second time, or the third time that we read something. I've been a Christian for many, many years, and we are all in process in our walk with the Lord. He is continually molding us and shaping us. We're not going to come to the point that, okay, I'm all together and I'm perfect, and it's not going to happen. And we can't be discouraged or distracted when we fall back and when we blow it again. But we need to continue to seek and to trust Him, for God is faithful and He is patient. So again, as we look into the mirror and we have that self-examination or that home inspection, what is He revealing to us? Is there an area that maybe we need to repent in? Is there something that needs to be forsaken? Has unforgiveness taken root in our heart and maybe led to bitterness. Maybe it's a challenge to be more faithful, to be more diligent in prayer and more committed to our devotions. Maybe he wants us to get involved in ministry or to step out and be involved in a new ministry. Or maybe he's showing us to be involved in women's study that starts in October. So, you know, he doesn't reveal these things to condemn or to destroy us, but to challenge us to mature, to grow up, to be more like him, because he wants to use us for his purpose, for his honor and glory. He reminds us of his love and his kindness, his majesty and power, his goodness and long-suffering, his encouragement and blessings. And because his word is alive and sharper than a two-edged sword, it reveals what is profitable and unprofitable, areas that possibly we weren't even aware of before we were in the word, and it is made known to us. So going back to our house, we were able to see most of it being built. We had numerous decisions to make. We prayed. We trusted the Lord, obviously. But at the same time, we needed to trust our contractor and those that he hired for the plumbing, for the electricity, the roofers, the heating, the air conditioning, because those things are behind the walls. They're inside, and we had to trust that they were doing it correctly. You see, because we had some experience with outward appearance and inward shortcomings and failures in our previous house, and it was in the bathroom. The outward appearance was beautiful. We had this big garden tub. We had a shower, double sinks. It was very nice, but when we moved in and took the first shower, it was very obvious we had a leak. I mean, on the floor, it was very obvious. We knew it was there, and we took care of it. And the garden tub looked really nice, except that the hot water heater that they installed only filled it up like this high, like maybe to your hip. So it looked nice, but it was not functional. But really, the major issue was when we were selling that house and we had the home inspection. Apparently, although the outward shower problem was repaired, there was an inward shower problem. And it was underneath the house, in the insulation, in the subflooring, everywhere. Major damage, $12,000 worth of major damage. It was an intermittent leak that was actually a spray from the drain. So you had to be in the shower, stand on a certain spot to create the spray. But over years and over time, it was a mess, and we had great consequences. If we had known, if it had been revealed to us, we would have dealt with it. Just like our lives. Are we quick to take heed when the truth is revealed to us? How do we respond to conviction or encouragement? Are we willing to allow the Lord to change us? Again, going back to choosing and our choices, we can choose to be back to the builder. Are we going to build on the sand or are we going to build on the rock? Are we going to be a hearer or are we going to be a doer? Do we make it our goal to be in his word and to know his will? Is our heart sensitive to what he's showing us, to have our priorities in order and not being too busy? We can, by our outward appearance, seem to have it all together, like my bathroom, when in reality we are hurting, anxious, lonely, maybe even damaged and in need of repairs. So we can spend a lot of time on our outward appearance, our makeup, our hair, our manis and pedis, dieting and working out, choosing the right clothes, the right shoes, the right jewelry, the right purses. And none of those things are wrong. None of us would come here today just in our jammies and not brushed our teeth or got cleaned up. But how much time do we spend on those things? Are we taking the time and making the effort to focus on our inner beauty? 1 Peter 3:3-4 says, "Do not let your outward beauty be that do not let your beauty be that outward adorning of arranging of hair, wearing gold, or of putting on fine apparel, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the uncorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. We see inner beauty reflected in our attitudes of patience and kindness, joy and generosity, thankfulness, gratefulness, contentment, peace and love. And especially what is revealing of our heart is the words that we speak. Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is in our hearts will come out. I watched a movie on Hallmark, and this mom had shared with her daughter, it's what is on the inside that really matters. Beauty is really on the inside. But it's always fun to let your outside sparkle. So, you know, there's that balance. There's that balance. So, laughter is a good medicine without side effects. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. So I want to share this true award-winning personal story from this woman who lived in Sydney, or lives in Sydney, Australia. And I did share this with my Bible study group last year, so sorry you've already heard it. So this woman says, I had an appointment with my OBGYN for my annual checkup later in the week. Early one morning, I received a call from the doctor's office to say I had been rescheduled for that very day at 9:30. I had only packed everyone off to work and school, and it was already about 8:45, and the trip to his office took about 35 minutes, so I didn't have much time to spare. As most women do, I like to take a little extra effort with hygiene when making such visits, but this time, I wasn't going to be able to do the full effort. So I rushed upstairs, threw off my dressing gown, wet the washcloth that was sitting next to the sink, and gave myself a quick wash in that area to make sure I was presentable. I threw the washcloth in the clothes basket, donned some clothes, hopped in the car, and raced to my appointment. I was waiting in the waiting room for only a few minutes when I was called in. Knowing the procedure, as I'm sure you do, I hopped up on the table, looked over at the other side of the room, and pretended I was in Paris. So, as the doctor started his exam, and I was in Paris, I was a little surprised when he said, "My, we have taken extra effort this morning, haven't we?" But I could not even respond. The appointment was over. I heaved a sigh of relief, and I went home and continued my day. Well, after school, my six-year-old daughter was playing, and she called out from the bathroom, "Mom, where's my washcloth?" Oh, I called back for her just to get another one from the cupboard, and she said, "No, I need the one that was here by the sink. It had all my glitter and sparkles in it." Could you imagine? I am moving. So, just a little on the lights. Jesus, in Matthew 5:4, we all have, 5:14, we all have lights in our bathroom. And when we're getting ready, we want to see. As we were teasing last night, we don't put our makeup on by candlelight or by 40-watt light, or we want the light on. And Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So Jesus is calling us the light of the world. But he also spoke of himself as the light of the world. John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So there's a relationship here. Jesus is the source of life, and Christians are the reflection of his light. Our function is to shine for him, just as the moon reflects the glory of the sun. So one more thing, the bathtub. The end of the day, when everything that is going to get done is done. Bath time. I love my bath. every night, soaking, unwinding, relaxing. For me, it's soothing, peaceful, it's a quiet place, and when my kids were little, it was my refuge. When I am sick, it comforts me, and when I am cold, it warms me up. These same things are available to us in our spiritual house. Psalms 46, 10 through 11, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted upon the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still literally means take your hands off and relax. We are all tempted and prone to be hands-on and want to direct and manage our own lives. But God wants us to yield to Him. Here we see that everyone can have the assurance and knowledge that God is in control. Our fears and anxieties can be stilled and quieted, just like for me when I'm in that bathtub. His people can relax. He is in control. He is never pacing the halls of heaven. He is never wringing His hands and wondering. He is exalted among the nations in victory. He is reigning and supreme among the nations and over all the earth. No matter what we are going through, no matter what the trial may be, no matter the circumstances or how profound the darkness, as believers we know and we can say with confidence and without fear, the Lord of hosts is with us. He who directs the armies of heaven, He is with us and He is our refuge. We need to take comfort and remember, if God be for us, who can be against us? Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, or fixed on him, because he trusts in you. So in closing, I just want to say, I don't watch very much TV, but when I do, it's the news, some sports. Just finished the Little League World Series. I watch it every year, and I love it. Hallmark or Home and Garden? One of my favorite shows on Home and Garden is Fixer Upper with Chip and Joanna Gaines. It begins with, do you have the guts to take on a fixer upper? And I always think, me and Chuck? Oh my gosh, are you kidding? We are so not handy. But that's what I think, but I always answer, with you I do. Yeah. If they were in my community, I could take a tear down and do that. Not only are they gifted and talented, they have vision, abilities, they reflect love and thoughtfulness to each other and to their clients, and they honor the Lord. So going back to that original question, do you have the guts to take on a fixer-upper? I think, how would Jesus answer that question? He would always say, yes, yes, always yes. When Jesus knocks at the doors of our heart and we invite him in, he knows exactly what he's getting. There are no surprises. No home inspections are needed. Every one of us are fixer-uppers. We may think that, you know, I probably could just do with a little easy cosmetic changes here. Especially if we see ourselves on these scales or we're comparing ourselves with ourselves, we might think that we're pretty good. And then you talk to other people and they already know that they're a total gut job. So the word says that there is none that are righteous, no, not one. Jesus is always willing. His will is that all would come to repentance and all would be saved. He is faithful to give us a new life. He will come into our house. He will give us a new kitchen, a new living room, a new bathroom. He can repair and replace. He can build up and make new. And if we choose, he will maintain us. Only Jesus. Even though we built our house from the ground up, there are imperfections. Things that aren't exactly how we pictured them. Restrictions by building codes. Miscommunications between us and the builder. But you know what? We are very, very thankful, and we are blessed with our house. But we know it is only temporary. And we also know that there are no perfect houses, not even on Home and Garden. There is no time like the present to begin building or rebuilding our lives on the foundation of Christ and the Word and His will for us. He loves us, and He knows what is best for us. Don't be satisfied with anything less than His will for you, for He has His will, and it is always the best. We have our plans, our blueprints, our goals and dreams, but He has His plans for us. His plans are always good and always better. He is preparing us for heaven. We cannot lose ourselves in the temporary. No one has ever seen, no one has ever heard, no one has ever imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. John 14:2, in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. The Lord is building our dream home. So thank you for touring the bathroom with me. And we'll continue on our open house with the other rooms. And so I just pray that you were blessed and encouraged. And Lord, we just come before you. We just thank you for this time, Lord. I pray that you would just continue to mold us and shape us and conform us, Lord, into your image. And may we choose to be transformed and not conform to the world, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.